Good morning and welcome to St. Columba's for our service of Holy Communion on this, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. We welcome in particular visitors who are joining us, and all of you are most welcome. Our service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets.
Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts.
God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The collect for today, the ninth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who sent your Holy Spirit to be the life and light of your Church, open our hearts to the riches of his grace, that we may bring forth the fruit of the Spirit in love and joy and peace, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Paul continues to set out his understanding of how Christian faith follows from Jewish faith. Before, there was only the law of obedience. Now, all who confess Jesus as Lord, Jews and everyone else, are put right with God. The epistle is from Romans chapter 10, beginning at verse 5. Moses writes concerning the righteousness that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down? Or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead? But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart, that is, the word of faith that we proclaim, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says no one who believes in him will be put to shame, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how are they to call on one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in one of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of the Lord.
After miraculously feeding several thousand people, Jesus takes time for renewal and private reflection, then rejoins his disciples in the mystery of walking on water. Surely now they will see who he truly is. Hear the gospel of our Savior Christ according to Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus Christ.
Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the lake. But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. The boat was battered by waves, we heard, for the wind was against them. Recently, in my round as chaplain, I met a man who had been admitted to hospital as a result of an incident at sea. He was an experienced sailor, but conditions changed drastically, and he had to be rescued by the RNLI. Fortunately, he was little the worse for his experience, but acutely embarrassed, and made me promise that I would inform nobody of his identity. Obviously, I honoured that request. Living on the island of Ireland, most of us know something about the sea. For some, it's a way of life. They, to quote the Psalms, go down to the sea in ships, doing business on the great waters. They're involved in transporting to and from this island very large quantities of raw materials and other assorted commodities. When speaking to Jeff Launchbury in advance of a sermon on the work of the Mission to Seafarers in early July, he reminded me that almost 90% of our goods reach us by sea. I hope I got that fact correct. Others go to sea in ships as a means of travelling from this island to other countries. In a few days' time, my wife Jenny and I hope to travel by ferry from Ireland to France via England. Many people spend their leisure time, like the man I met in hospital, sailing around the coast of Ireland, perhaps visiting some of the small islands that dot our coastline. 4 days ago, we travelled from Ballycastle to the island of Rathlin. It's a crossing I've made many times, usually in calm and perfect conditions. My most recent adventure, while fairly uneventful, was rough enough to prompt a crew member, unwisely we thought, to pass sick bags around the customers, one of whom promptly made use of his kind offer. And I can assure you, it was not a pretty sight. If we've any sense, we treat the sea and any expanse of water with respect. The parish in which I served for many years in Newtownards is at the head of Strangford Lough, scenically beautiful, but potentially treacherous. Like Strangford, an inland stretch of water which features regularly in the Bible and was well known to Jesus, who grew up a short distance from its shores, is the Sea of Galilee. Today's gospel passage is an example of Galilee's capacity to spread fear and alarm amongst those who ventured onto its waters. We heard that the boat of the disciples was battered by waves, for the wind was against them. They'd been listening to Jesus, and now they were traveling home across the sea, across the lake, in the middle of the night. That, incidentally, is what's meant by the fourth watch of the night. It seems that those in the boat were fighting a losing battle in their attempt to get themselves out of the stormy conditions. And then, in circumstances when our minds and theirs can make it difficult to distinguish between fact and fantasy, their fears intensified when they saw the image of Jesus and heard his voice. "Take heart, I'm with you. Don't be afraid." Typical of Peter, he responded impulsively, got out of the boat, and seemed to walk on water until his courage failed him. The incident had a happy ending, because when Peter returned to the boat, the storm ceased, and those caught up in the turmoil recognized not only the peaceful presence of Jesus, but acknowledged him as the Son of God. "Out of the depths have I called to you, O Lord, hear my voice," are the opening words of one of the Psalms, and may have been known to some of those disciples in the boat, battered by the wind on the Sea of Galilee. In moments of crisis, perhaps when in the depth of despair, the words that will be on the lips of fervent believer and agnostic alike may be, "God help us." In life, the wind can from time to time be against us. When we are in danger of being overwhelmed by the storms and battered by the waves of life. Moments when we long for peace. A strong faith does not necessarily protect us from the periods of turmoil. Like everybody else, we can experience sorrow as well as joy, poverty as well as wealth, infirmity as well as good health. But for many, they echo again words from the Psalms that God is a very present help in times of trouble. Throughout the year, our attention is drawn to Christian men and women from other ages as well as our own, who have wrestled with the trials and the tribulations of life. That may include the first apostles, or faithful pioneers of faith in this country, like Patrick or Columba, or more recent people who have known to quote words from a familiar hymn, "The tumult of the world's tempestuous sea." Very briefly this morning, I'd like to draw attention to one man who came to Ireland in a period of acute religious and political turmoil in England and made this place his home. I refer to him because he died 350 years ago today, on the 13th of August, 1667. Now that's a long time ago, but the man is worthy of note, so I hope you will bear with me. He was a notable figure in the Anglican Church, of which the Church of Ireland is part, who became Bishop of Down and Dromore, in other words, a predecessor of Bishop Harold. And his name? Jeremy Taylor. Taylor was born in England in mid-August 1613, 2 years after the Authorized Version or King James Bible was printed. After ordination, he became closely associated with William Laud, Archbishop of Canterbury, who was a royalist and a supporter of King Charles I. That led to Taylor's appointment as chaplain to the king. It was to land him in very deep trouble. When Archbishop Laud was tried for treason by the Puritan Parliament associated with Oliver Cromwell and subsequently executed, Jeremy Taylor was politically suspect. After the execution of King Charles I, Taylor was imprisoned on a number of occasions. Wisely, he took the advice to live quietly in Wales, where he remained until the death of Oliver Cromwell in 1658 and the restoration of the monarchy 2 years later in the person of King Charles II. Taylor was invited to Ireland and shortly afterwards was appointed Bishop of Down and Connor, to which was added the Diocese of Dromore. Jeremy Taylor is given credit for commissioning a new cathedral in Dromore. One of his early tasks was to replace ministers of the Presbyterian tradition appointed during the Parliament when Cromwell was in the ascendancy with clergy who would submit to the Anglican tradition of episcopal ordination. It was not a pleasant task, prompting Taylor to remark, "I perceive myself thrown into a place of torment." The troubles associated with his period as Bishop of Down and Dromore may have shortened his life, leading to his relatively early death at the age of 53 on the 13th of August, 1667. Taylor was predeceased by three sons and died at Lisburn. And if you're interested, you'll find his burial place at Dromore Cathedral. Jeremy Taylor stands out among the bishops of our United Diocese, not simply because he lived in very troubled times and had to deal with religious and clerical dissent in a sometimes ruthless fashion, but because of the outstanding nature of his devotional writings. His best-known book, A Collection of Sermons, is called Holy Living and Holy Dying. And incidentally, it became favoured reading for John Wesley, considered the founder of Methodism, approximately 100 years later. The boat was battered by waves, for the wind was against them. Literally and metaphorically, that can be the case for many people who have attempted to follow the way of Christ, including the disciples in the boat and Jeremy Taylor. It is, I suggest, a positive reason for exchanging the peace of the Lord with one another in this sacrament of Holy Communion, and for singing and praying, as we will shortly in the offertory hymn, "Lead us, Heavenly Father, lead us o'er the world's tempestuous sea. Guard us, guide us, keep us, feed us, for we have no help but thee." To God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed as is most justly due all might, majesty, dominion, power, and glory, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son has worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray.
And this morning we use the intercessions on page 238, or using the large print edition of the prayer book, page 151. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. Help us and all our Christian brothers and sisters to believe in our hearts and confess that you truly are the Lord of all. Renew the life of this diocese. Bless John, Ken, Walter, and their families, and build them up in faith and love. This morning we pray for Bishop Harold and for Bishop Greg Venables as they prepare for Bible Week. We pray for all those organising and participating in this event. Following the diocesan cycle of prayer, we remember our neighbouring parish of Gilnerhook and their rector, Nigel Kirkpatrick. Inspire and resource the mission of our church and teach us to honour you in worship and in prayer. Help us to grow as communities of faith, love and hope. Enlighten our lives with your grace, that we may give ourselves fully to your service. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of creation, look with favour on the world you have made. And may the wonders of your creation remind us of the abundance of your love. And may your care for the smallest of creatures remind us of how special we are to you. Guide the nations in the ways of justice and of peace. Instill in the hearts of all humanity the vision of peace and the strength of justice. Grant us the insight to respond to hatred with love, to intolerance with forgiveness, and to need with the sharing of ourselves. May we all in thought, word, and action be mindful of the feelings of others. Bless Elizabeth, our Queen, and guide all in authority. Open their hearts to be influenced for good, and grant that through their discussions and decision-making, we may work towards a fairer and more united society. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. This morning we pray for all those young people who will soon receive examination results. We ask for your guidance as they make important decisions impacting their lives. Remind them that their future lies in your hand. As we prepare for the new academic year, we pray for our schools and colleges and all those who teach and learn in them. Help us all to value the experience of learning and give us the insight to discern that which is worth knowing, to value what is precious, and to reject anything which is evil in your eyes. May our knowledge never exceed our wisdom. We also remember that our church organisations will be starting again soon. We pray that they will once again provide support, fellowship and fun for all their members. And today we pray also for Rachel Atchison and Rupert Wilson as they begin their married lives together following their wedding here yesterday. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering and be with those who have any special need. Deliver all who know danger, violence or oppression. Bring your healing touch to those whom we know to be sick, afraid or worried and give them your peace. Remind them that you call them by name and hold them in the palm of your hand. We remember all those on our parish prayer list and those worshipping at home together with us. We pray especially for the family of Walter Kerr, whose funeral was on Friday. And in a moment's silence, we bring before you all those known personally to us in need of your comfort and healing touch. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of eternity, bind us together by your Holy Spirit, in communion with all who, having confessed the faith, have died in the peace of Christ, that we may entrust ourselves and one another and our whole life to you, Lord God. Come with all your saints to the joys of your eternal kingdom. Amen.
We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same, Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Thank you. Lord, yours is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all things come from you, and of your own we give you. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us celebrate the feast.
The Lord is here.
Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father Almighty, never living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image. Male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man and suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted, and in his holy gospel, commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension, and we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, grant by the power of the life-giving Spirit that we may be made one in your holy church, and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. As our Saviour Christ has taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God, who has taken away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper. Lord, I am not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. Thank you.
body of Christ, keep you eternal life. 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 Body of Christ, keep you eternal life.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy Father, who gathered us here round the table of your Son to share this meal with the whole household of God, in that new world where you reveal the fullness of your peace, gather people of every race and language to share in the eternal banquet of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen. Just before we sing our final hymn, we do want to convey our prayerful good wishes to Canon Ken Smith and his wife Jenny for safe travel and a time of refreshment as you make your way to England and then on to France. And we do look forward to welcoming you both back refreshed in due course. I hope all of you have the hog roast and barn dance in your diary for Friday, September the 15th, very kindly to be held in the home of Tony and Clodagh Reid in Cumber. If you would like tickets, details of those who have the tickets are in the Pew News for your reference. And also you will see on the notice board just beside the door as you make your way, Billy McAlpine, the editor of the Columban, has drawn a big picture of a hog subdivided into 50 parts. And what we're asking parishioners to do is to purchase a part of the hog, which is £10 per piece. And we're hoping to be able to pay for the hog before the evening itself comes. The 8:15 congregation have made a good start this morning. And if you would like to look at that and support that, that would be very much appreciated by all those who are involved in the organising of this most important fundraising event. There will be a ballot for those 50 names during the evening when that evening does come. We conclude by singing hymn number 34. to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ.
Amen.